Forgers and Artists, True Stories. Narrated by Paul Spera. Konrad Kujau and the Fake Diary of Adolf Hitler. Konrad Kujau was born in June 1938 in the Saxony region of Germany. His childhood was marked by war and poverty. His father, a simple cobbler, was a fervent supporter of Hitler, like many Germans at the time. When he died in 1944, the family found themselves in terrible poverty. In 1945, during the bombing of Dresden, the last members of the family were dispersed. Thereafter, Konrad grew up in various orphanages in East Germany. As a teenager, he quickly became involved in petty crime. He told his story to the police when he was arrested, but some of the details were doubtful, as he was so adept at fooling the investigators and telling completely different stories, all with the same aplomb. He claims, among other things, that he studied art, that he held a cabaret, and that he worked as a window washer. There is one doubtless fact about Konrad. He has two genuine gifts. First of all, he has an incredible talent for painting. He doesn't create anything original, but he can copy anything more or less well. Secondly, he's really good at imitating handwriting. His very first forgeries are meal tickets, but also autographs of East German politicians. In the early 1970s, Konrad had the idea to combine these two talents to create a scam that could have gone unpunished if he'd not become too greedy. It is well known that Adolf Hitler tried his hand at painting in his younger years, and that, although he never met with the success he'd hoped for, he was prolific, several hundred drawings and paintings. Kujau suspected that there were still fans of the Führer's works out there. So, he produced paintings in the manner of Hitler, to which he attached small notes, letters supposedly written by Hitler's hand, as certificates of authenticity. The poor quality of these could have revealed the deception. The paper was clearly too modern, but the forger figures that his customers will never dare to complain. Indeed, their nostalgia for the Third Reich must be kept secret if they want to avoid getting into trouble. Konrad also creates other works and poems signed Hitler. He copies Mein Kampf by hand several times and succeeds in selling those manuscripts, even though specialists know very well that the original text had been typed directly by Hitler. Konrad then invented an unpublished sequel of the book and sold that as well. At the time, a rumor was circulating about the diaries written by Hitler. These were probably destroyed when a plane that was supposed to be evacuating Nazi documents crashed in 1945, but some people believe that the famous notebooks might have been saved. Using an official Nazi Party notebook, Kujau begins to write a diary for Hitler, meticulously imitating his handwriting. At first, he thinks he'll only tell a small part of the Führer's life, covering only a few months. He entitles it Private and Political Notes from January 1935 to June 1935. The cover has a red wax seal and a black ribbon with the initials FH in Gothic calligraphy. Apparently, Konrad hadn't managed to find an A. He does not plan to write a sequel. This is without counting on his meeting with Gerd Heidemann, journalist at the German magazine Stern. It's thanks to Gerd that the scam takes on such magnitude. Heidemann is ambitious, close to neo-Nazi circles, and he dreams of a scoop. When Gerd discovers this first volume of the Hitler diary, he's fascinated. He will later claim that he really believed the book to be authentic. He rushes to Stern with his find. The popular but rather left-wing weekly is reluctant. But the magazine's parent company agrees to give him the funds to buy more notebooks from a so-called high-ranking contact in the East German army. Kujau sets to work. For 3 years, he writes Hitler's daily thoughts, imitating the Führer's handwriting. His text covers the entire history of the Third Reich, from the seizure of power by the National Socialist Party in 1933 to the end in Berlin in April 1945. He uses black A4 notebooks and spills tea on the pages before shaking them and banging them against a table to age their appearance. Then he adds red wax seals in the shape of an eagle to the covers. The notebooks arrive in small batches. Supposedly, the precious documents have to pass through East German customs. In the meantime, Heidemann and Kuyao are getting rich in an astonishing way with the money swindled from the press group. In April 1983, excerpts from the diary are finally published in two well-known magazines, Stern on the German side and simultaneously the Sunday Times in England. They're presented as excerpts from the 62 volumes of Adolf Hitler's long-lost diary. In the Sunday Times, too, this publication is a major event. It's on the front page and has no less than 4 inside pages. It is presented as a world exclusive. The new owner of the tabloid, the famous Australian media mogul Rupert Murdoch, even hires a specialist of Hitler's life, the famous professor Hugh Trevor Roper, to authenticate the excerpts. But the English historian is misled. Afterwards, he disputes his mistake, saying that he hadn't signed anything, that he hadn't been allowed to inspect the originals. Less than 2 weeks later, the deception is revealed. Fairly simple scientific tests, such as an ultraviolet examination, reveals that the paper used to write the notebooks could not be any older than the mid-1950s. The West German Federal Archives conduct this expertise. The experts describe the diary as a superficial and grotesque fake. Some of them even insinuate that it's a plot by East German secret agents. The fraud may not be so obvious when people don't know about it, but once it's exposed, it becomes evident, because Hitler's words are so flat and banal. Don't forget the Olympic tickets for Eva. Up all day. Or, because of the new pills, I have violent flatulence. And, according to Eva, bad breath. When it all turns out to be a sensational scam, reporter Heidemann is immediately singled out. Especially since he's known to frequent neo-Nazi circles and to have a romantic relationship with Göring's daughter. Under pressure, Heidemann agrees to divulge the way in which he obtained these journals, and it is then that the name of Konrad Kuyao is brought to the light of day. Konrad is a small man with a round head and a mustache. He's been very well paid for several years and has become considerably richer. Moreover, in the 80s, his lifestyle has visibly changed. Neighbors have noticed. He spends a lot of money and goes around in a uniform, demanding to be called General Kuyao. He manages to avoid arrest until May 1983, when he is apprehended by the West German police at the Austrian border. Konrad confesses then to have produced the 62 volumes of Hitler's supposed diary and to have sold them to Heidemann. But he declares his innocence, claiming he never hid to his client that the diaries were forgeries. According to Kuyao, Heidemann led him to believe that he was passing them on to a former Hitler aide who had retired to South America. Kuyao even claims to have been shocked when he discovered excerpts of his work in the press. Heidemann, too, proclaims his own innocence, saying he was duped by Kuyao. After an 11-month-long trial, Kuyao was condemned and sentenced to 4 years. Heidemann was also sent to prison. In 1988, after 3 years in prison and suffering from laryngeal cancer, Kuyao was released. After his release, he worked as an official forger and opened a gallery in Stuttgart, where he first sold authentic imitations of Hitler's paintings. He then began to produce works by Dalí, Monet, Rembrandt, and Van Gogh. He signed his compositions with his own name and that of the original artist. He immediately became popular in the media and made a good living. Kuyao's real forgeries were very successful, so much so that in the 1990s, a submarket of Kuyao forgeries appeared. Upon his release from prison, Konrad also announced his intention to write his memoirs. His story would be called I Was Hitler. But in 1998, a book, Die Originalität der Fälschung, The Originality of the Forgery, was published under his name. He denounced the imposture. He had not written a single line of this book. Konrad left for Mallorca, where he opened a new gallery. German tourists asked him to show them his gifts. He was fined again for copyright infringement in his latest New Interpretations of Old Masters and got an 18-month probationary sentence for firing a gun in a bar. In 1991, Thames Television aired the miniseries Selling Hitler. The comedy drama was based on a book by Robert Harris. Alexei Sale played the role of Kuyao. Konrad Kuyao died in Stuttgart of throat cancer in September 2000 at the age of 62. Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.